This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the United States is working to reduce the size of its military forces in Iraq.
Our purpose is not to stay there for 5 years or 10 years. Our purpose is to help the Iraqi people develop the security forces that will enable them to provide for the security of the country.
Donald Rumsfeld spoke in an interview yesterday at the Pentagon. We'll hear more of that interview in a moment. Rumsfeld remains on his job even as other presidential advisors move on. He survived fierce criticism and a prison abuse scandal. Now he points to Iraq's recent election as a sign of success. The secretary was in classic form at the Pentagon yesterday. In a crisp blue suit, he attended a press conference.
Good afternoon, folks.
He displayed his famous style of batting away questions.
My goodness, that's about 6 or 8 questions,
and it
has a bunch of assumptions that are deficient.
And he kept the focus on a central mission for the U.S. military, preparing Iraqis to defend themselves. There is a more skeptical way to describe that mission. We heard it when we spoke to Andrew Bacevich, a foreign policy professor at Boston University and a Vietnam veteran.
I'm not criticizing what Rumsfeld has conceived of as the appropriate course of action at this point. It seems to me that it's just about the only course of action available to us to try to liquidate this military commitment, which we cannot win, and to do that by turning over the war to the Iraqis to win or to lose. But I think anybody who's not already committed to this enterprise as necessary and good has to be somewhat skeptical about the prospects.
To improve the prospects of success, U.S. military leaders say they need to reduce the strength of the Iraqi insurgency. And that subject is clearly on the secretary's mind. In a recent public appearance, Donald Rumsfeld said he wanted numbers, statistics, to measure progress in Iraq, saying, "What you measure improves." He explained that statement when he sat down with us at the Pentagon.
We have a room here, the Iraq room, where we track a whole series of metrics. Some of them are inputs and some of them are outputs, results. And obviously the inputs are easier to do and less important, and the outputs are vastly more important and more difficult to do. We track a numbers of attempts at intimidation or assassination of government officials, for example. We track the extent to which people are supplying intelligence to our people so that they can go in and actually track down and capture or kill insurgents. What you aren't able to do is keep track of how many there are. And the reason for that is they don't have roll call in the morning. They don't have a roster that you can capture, for example.
It seems that might be a problem with a lot of these numbers. Like, for example, number of attacks per day. It might go down for a day or a week. You don't know if it's going to go up next month. Is there a number that you track that makes you feel confident that you have made progress against the insurgents, that you're winning militarily?
No one number is determinative, and the answer is no. We probably look at 50, 60, 70 different types of metrics, and you come away with them with an impression. It's impressionistic more than determinative.
A retired U.S. Army general who just finished a tour of Iraq came away with a positive impression. Lieutenant General John Keane assessed the situation for U.S. commanders, and he says Iraq's January election sharply changed the situation. At the same time, Keane points to one of the U.S. military's challenges. The insurgents are still fighting, and they want to wait out the Americans.
The insurgents believe, at least in some of the things that we've picked up from them, they think that the American people's patience for this at the current force levels with the current level of violence and casualties would probably run out in about 5 years. And I think that's accurate.
If there really is a 5-year limit, about 2 of them are already spent. Current and former military officers take it as a given that the insurgency cannot be defeated militarily. It has to be attacked politically, too. And in our interview, Donald Rumsfeld did not disagree.
Oh, I think it certainly is reasonable to say that the coalition is not going to defeat the insurgency. The Iraqi people will moderate the insurgency and eventually defeat it. And they'll do it because of progress in the political area, which legitimizes the government and delegitimizes the people opposing the government. It'll happen because of economic progress, and they'll do it because of the success of the Iraqi security forces. So it'll be all of those things over time that will do it.
You mentioned the training of Iraqi forces. You have used a figure of more than 140,000 Iraqis trained. The Government Accountability Office looked at that number. They said, well, maybe more than 140,000 have been trained, but tens of thousands have walked off the job. It appeared there was nowhere near that number actually defending Iraq. Is that the case?
Actually, I have not read the Government Accountability Office, but we spent a lot of time on this, and we know what we're talking about. Now, we don't subtract from the United States military the number of people who may be in jail or may be AWOL or whatever.
Probably isn't tens of thousands, though, I would imagine.
What we present is accurate, and the figures currently are something over 140,000. That's just a fact. That's what General Petraeus is reporting to us, and General Casey and General Abizaid. Now, it's less than that by some margin, but it's gone from zero up to that. They're not ghost payrolls. These are people who did something on January 30th, and they did something enormously oppressive.
It does raise the question of how many forces are really ready to take over for the United States.
Of course. That's the critical question. Quantity is important. Quality is really important. Leadership, command and control, sustainability, mobility, all of those things are important.
And the fact, as you just mentioned, leadership, command and control, mobility, those are things the United States is still having to provide for these trained Iraqi troops, correct?
In some instances, we provide the mobility and the sustainability, true. In most instances, we don't provide the leadership.
Do you know of any Sunni leader among those who are trying in Iraq who has sufficient influence to actually rein in insurgents at this time?
Oh, I think that in a country like Iraq, looking for a single person, you've got tribes. No, I wouldn't think there'd be a single person.
Do you have any group of people?
Well, sure. The Shia and the Kurds that participated fully in the elections have been reaching out to the Sunnis, which is a very positive thing. The Sunnis, I think, who knows? I can't speak for all the Sunnis, but if you drop the plumb line through all the intelligence I've seen, the Sunni leadership that I've read about is reasonably well convinced that they made a terrible mistake by not participating in the election, and they're leaning forward right now and talking and discussing and trying to figure out how they can play in the process that will take place going forward to fashion a constitution and then elect a permanent government. I don't think they'll make that mistake again.
Does the intelligence you see also suggest that these Sunni leaders who seem to be leaning forward, as you put it, they can also bring along the insurgent fighters? They could actually end the conflict?
I think very likely what the people tend not to move from being a terrorist or an insurgent fighter all the way over to support for the government. What they do is they become less of a fighter or less of an insurgent. And it's generally characterized as a tipping process. Tip meaning that the mass of people in that country, more of them support the government than oppose it. Now, it's manifested in a lot of different ways. It's manifested in the number of people signing up to serve in the security forces. It's manifested in the number of people who voted, over 8 million. It's manifested by the number of tips we get and intelligence information. And most of those indicators are improving. So it's improving the situation.
Mr. Secretary, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has taken note of how long it took to put down other major insurgencies in recent decades. In our interview, he said it can often take 6, 7, even 8 years. The Secretary's challenge is to get most U.S. forces out of Iraq much sooner than that. To hear more of our interview, go to npr.org.